And welcome back to another edition of Hoopsburg, a college basketball podcast. My name is Eric Hall. I'm here with Lauren Kirschman.
Oh, that's pause.
Is that enough of a pregnant pause?
I didn't see you coming that time.
I would like to say that I'm speaking to the award-winning Lauren Kirschman. If you didn't know, Lauren won a top 10 award for the APSE National Sports Editors Competition. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Very well deserved. Very good. Good story on Emmanuel Hilton, and we're very happy for you. Now, what about Pitt?
Really
are they happy?
That was a terrible transition.
I tried. Is Pitt happy? Are they fat and happy, resting on their laurels off the Duke win?
They better not be.
They play tonight. The Panthers play tonight
at
Virginia Tech. That's Wednesday night. So, of course, when you listen to this on Thursday on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, or at timesonline.com under the podcast menu.
Nice.
See how they got that in there? Mm-hmm. We'll already know if they escaped Blacksburg with a victory. I don't think it's going to be an easy win. I don't think it's a... everybody's just kind of assuming, I shouldn't say everybody, but many are assuming that they're just going to roll right in there now and they should beat Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech on the road. I don't think that that's a foregone conclusion.
No, I don't either. And I think Virginia Tech's a much better team than they were when they saw them earlier in the year. Virginia Tech's right behind them in the standings. They're 8-8 in the ACC. They're not like at the bottom with Boston College and Wake Forest. So Virginia Tech isn't a terrible team. Georgia Tech is certainly not a terrible team.
Although they've kind of slowed.
They
recently.
Have. Yeah. But road games in the ACC are never going to be easy to win. And I think Pitt needs to get one of these to really feel comfortable. And then maybe one in the ACC tournament. But I don't think, I mean, the win over Duke was definitely huge for their NCAA tournament resume. I think they're in right now. But they
solidly in.
But drop these last two games, and then you're kind of looking at it a little bit differently. So that's something they definitely don't want to do.
Yeah, I think if they drop the next two, they're back on the bubble. They're back on the first four in, first four out, and they're going to have to win a couple at the ACC tournament. If they split, I think that they're in, no matter what they do with the ACC tournament. I think if they would lose their first game in the ACC tournament, if they split, they would be like 11 playing in a playing game.
Yeah.
You know, in the first round game, first four games. Sorry. Keep changing these names on me. But I think they'd be in. I think they'd be safe. Because either loss will not be a bad loss.
Yeah. Virginia Tech's a worse one, but neither is terrible.
Under 100 in terms of RPI, right?
Yeah.
I believe so. Georgia Tech's in the 60. So they're not going to be bad losses. They just won't. And the wins aren't extremely helpful like the one over Duke was, obviously, but not enough to lift them up maybe to a 7.
Yeah, I think they would need a few wins, a win or two in the ACC tournament to do that. It's definitely within their reach with the field the way it is to get off that 8-9 line, which I think they would really like to do. But I definitely think they'd need a win in the ACC tournament over a quality team.
And, of course, it's all dependent on what other teams across the country do. I mean, in the bubble, it looks like, you win out and win a couple games in the ACC tournament, you got four more wins, that should lift your profile.
Yeah.
Now, theoretically, it should, but if everybody else who's in that area also lifts their profile with wins in conference tournaments and things like that, then Pitt isn't going anywhere. Right now, Pitt in. How about Duquesne women? Still in, right?
Still in.
Even though they lost to St. Bonaventure.
Even though they lost to St. Bonaventure. St. Bonaventure is a very good team. They were one of the teams that tied for the conference championship, so it's not a bad loss. Duquesne beat them earlier in the year, so they split the season series. Duquesne still has an RPI of 24, the highest in the Atlantic 10. So I don't think that they want to go into the Atlantic 10 tournament and, say, lose their first game. But I think they win one there, and they are probably solidly in and won't have to worry, although I'm sure they will still worry.
Well, yes, and they've lost two out of their last three,
which
is not the way they want to go into the tournament, I'm sure. They got a 3 seed in the A-10 tournament. As you said, 24 RPI?
Yeah.
23, 24, something like that. At 24 and 4, they look fairly solid, But as you said, trying to get off that 8-line because you don't want to match up against Notre Dame. You don't want to match up against Connecticut in the second round if you would get there. And I think they would have to win the A-10 tournament to do that.
Yeah, and that's something that they're definitely capable of doing. They've beaten every team in the Atlantic 10 at least once, so they've shown the ability to do that. But like you said, they've lost two out of their last three. They're not playing their best basketball right now. So if they want to get through the A-10 tournament, they're going to have things click here. But I definitely think if they get through the A-10 tournament, if they win it, they're going to get off that 8-9 line, which would be great for them.
And in Thursday's Times and online at timesonline.com, we have a little preview from Chris Mueller, not Mahler, but Mueller. The oft-confused Mueller brothers, Mueller brothers, but he was down at Duquesne on Tuesday. He spoke to some folks down there, so we'll have that preview in Thursday morning. Let's finish up the bracketology. Robert Morris played Wednesday night against Wagner. They're not getting in unless they win the tournament. They may be out by the time this hits the airwaves.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good possibility, actually.
Playing at Wagner, the number one seed, not an easy task. Although, as we said before, I think that the NEC is down a little bit at Wagner. There's not a real top-heavy. I think everybody's kind of intermixed. I could see Robert Morris pulling an upset.
I wouldn't be overly surprised because also Wagner's, they've played twice already. It's hard to beat a team three times in one season. So, and they just played.
Right.
They're playing back to back here. Yeah.
There.
They played them well both times. So it'll be, they have a shot. I can't see them making a run through the tournament, but pulling off one upset, I could see that happening.
So they need to win the tournament or they're out, obviously. Duquesne men, late season slide again, which I don't know how that bodes for Jim Ferry's future down there. Although, again, the injury to Jeremiah Jones, they need to win the A-10 tournament. They're not going anywhere either in the postseason. I mean, we're not maybe a CIT.
I wouldn't even think. Losing streak that they're on right now, I don't even think the CIT.
Played their way out of out of postseason there, unless they do well in the A-10 tournament, which I just don't see happening. Robert Morris women open their NEC play against Fairleigh Dickinson on Sunday, a game you'll be at, Lauren.
I will be there.
1 o'clock game. They lost to Fairleigh Dickinson twice this year. And Fairleigh Dickinson is actually the 5 seed, so they're below Robert Morris. Oh, I'm sorry, the 6 seed. Robert Morris is the 3 seed in the NEC tournament. What do you think about the Colonials' chances there to win one more for the Gipper?
I think they have a good shot. I mean, they're a good team. I think they underachieved this year from what some people expected of them. I mean, they were the preseason favorites to win the NEC, so for them to finish third is a little bit below expectations. But they seem to always perform well in the NEC tournament, even last year when they weren't expected to get anywhere
at all.
They
seem tested. They seem comfortable in those surroundings.
So I think getting the 3 seed, having a home game is a good way to start for them. And I would not be surprised at all to see them make a run to the championship.
And Pitt women, of course, played today, Wednesday, against North Carolina, ACC tournament. They're not going anywhere either unless they win the ACC, which they won't. Let's just put that out there. I'm sorry. They just won't. I think that wraps up our bracketology section.
So basically, Pitt men, Duquesne women, and everybody else can't go anywhere unless they win the tournament.
We knew that already.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So let's go back to talking about Pitt. And that was a signature win against Duke that they needed. They led wire to wire. Good matchup for the Panthers. Panthers, I think, because Duke not really strong underneath. They don't have that presence in the post. And I think you said they don't really have great guards either.
No, they don't have those kind of explosive athletic guards that seem to give Pitt trouble. What they have are shooters. Mm-hmm. And when their shots aren't falling, they get in trouble. Sound familiar?
Yes.
But what I think was most impressive about Pitt's performance against Duke was that they played really good defense, and it wasn't against Syracuse. So,
is Jamie Dixon finally getting through to these guys? Is it the fact that Michael Young isn't playing as much anymore?
I think he is sending a not so subtle message to Michael Young that he needs to play some defense or he's not going to see the floor. So we will see how that goes.
Because we've seen more Ryan Luther in the past 2 weeks than I would have ever imagined.
Has come out of nowhere to be scoring in double figures, be seeing 20 plus minutes a game. Just,
I didn't understand his recruitment of him.
I didn't either.
Not saying Ryan Luther is a bad player. I just thought that maybe this was a little above his level. But he's played extremely well in the past few weeks. And he's taken a lot of Young's time. Young's still the best player on this team in terms of talent.
Yeah. He just is not a great defender. And he doesn't seem interested in being a great defender. And unless you're going to be like Sam Young good and not be a great defender, you're probably going to see your minutes cut back by Jamie Dixon. So I think that's what you see happening here. But yeah, Ryan Luther has been outstanding in these past few games, not just offensively, which has caught everybody's attention, but he's been a really good defender for them too. And I mean, Jamie Dixon has been talking about his defense all season, and it was hard to see when he was only getting 10 minutes a game.
Sure.
But now that you're seeing him get longer stretches, get 20 plus minutes a game, you can actually see that he is a very good defender. So, I mean, I was like you when he was coming in. I thought he was more of a mid-major type player, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. he's proving everybody wrong right now.
Another player I think who is getting better as the season progresses is James Robinson. He seems like he's finding a little bit of his shooting touch. You always knew he was solid in terms of passing and not turning the ball over and things like that, but now he's taking some more shots. He's having more fall from the outside. He's much maligned, I think, as not being as good as they thought coming in, as people thought that he was going to be coming in, a four-year starter at point guard. He's not the dynamic point guard that a lot of teams possess, but I think he's become more of an asset for this team.
Yeah, I agree. At the beginning of the season, you could see it, that more of his shots were falling. He was scoring a lot more. And then he kind of faded off there in the beginning of ACC play. So there was kind of the thought that maybe that was just a non-conference and we're going to get the James Robinson we've seen past few seasons, which is still a very solid player, but not the score that was there in the non-conference. But in these last few games, I would say like three or four games, he's really come on. His shot is falling. He's just been really impressive as a scorer too. And if he can keep that up, he could be really big for them heading into the ACC tournament and the NCAA tournament, because point guard play is always important in the postseason. So another player for them has really come on recently. I think they have a lot of players coming on at the right time, which could be good for them, is Chris Jones. Moved into the starting lineup a few weeks ago, and he had 9 and 8 against Duke. So I think he's been really impressive. He kind of disappeared for a lot of the season, but he's coming on now.
I think this kind of speaks to the recruiting that that Jamie and his staff has done in the past 5 years. He can't seem to find that dynamic player other than maybe Steven Adams, who really wasn't here long enough to become dynamic in the way that that he could have been. But he always manages to find these solid guys who seem to get better. I don't know. And again, Mike Young is a transfer. I don't know if anybody saw him coming in and averaging 16 yeah. points a game 2 years ago. You know, Jamel Arnis. Robinson was pretty highly touted as a point guard, but again, he's starting to score a little bit more. Chris Jones, Ryan Luther, you know, Sheldon Jeter.
I was going to say, even Sheldon Jeter has only been here 2 years. Which is
they can't find that dynamic player, though, but they have like six or seven guys who on any given night can give you 10 to 15
yeah.
points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists.
Which is why I don't know that this graduate transfer route that Jamie kind of took this year is the best thing for him. I think he does so much better with players that he has around for a while, players that he can shape. Because none of these graduate transfers did anything for them this year. Not really.
Sterling Smith has been okay.
Sterling Smith was okay, but
shooter.
He hasn't scored in like 4 or 5 games.
How much of a choice did he have?
Tricks
it. I mean, I think they shot big on some recruits they didn't get.
They didn't get them. Yeah, that's very true.
And then those mid-level recruits are going other places, and now you're stuck, and you need these graduate transfers to kind of fill in the roster. But I think that they need to start signing these dynamic players. if they want to get back to where they were, because you don't, maybe 10 years ago, it was easier to come up with that diamond in the rough, DeJuan Blair, or Sam Young, those three-star recruits that turn into five-star college players. You know, now he's getting two-star recruits and three-star recruits that turn into four-star college players. Not quite good enough.
Yeah. It's a lot harder, I think, to find players like that now because players are everywhere. Like, there's no, like, hidden – there's no hiding guys so much anymore. So it's really difficult for him to find those kind of guys. And I also think that trying to recruit in the ACC kind of area away from New York has affected them too.
Okay. Well, let's put it – before we shoot on out of here, Pitt, seed in the NCAA tournament.
Right now –
what you think they're going to be when the
I would
flipped
say,
on Selection Sunday.
I'd say an 8.
An 8 seed. Okay. I think they're going to suffer a loss or two here. If not Wednesday night, then at Georgia Tech. I just think winning both games on the road is going to be a tough task. I think they're going to be a 10. Remember, I had them in the beginning of the season.
This is true. I did not. So,
Duquesne women.
I'm going to stick right around the same line. I'm going to say a 9.
Say a 9. I'm going to say also a 10.
Wow.
Yeah. Looking at their profile, I think the Princeton win isn't as good as a Princeton loss.
I was going to say.
Again, we said, you know, oh, well, they lost to Princeton, not a bad loss. No, not a bad loss. Princeton is currently looking out, on the outside looking in, I should say, of the tournament. They beat St. John's. St. John's has dropped to a 60 RPI. They lost their last two games against teams with that are in the top 100. They're kind of going, I don't want to say backwards, but they're slowing down their momentum as they go into the postseason here. And I think they might get an early exit in the A-10. I'm going to say a 10 seed, and I think they're going to barely get in. So.
They're going to be sweating it out on Selection Monday.
I think they might have a little cause for worry.
Well, that's not some position they're unfamiliar with. So.
No, that's true. But I think they get in. So, well, next week, Lauren, hopefully if all goes well, you'll be in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And we'll be talking to you from there, covering the ACC tournament. And, of course, you can check out Lauren's March Madness capsules on Monday. And also your coverage of the Robert Morris women's basketball quarterfinal NEC tournament game online Sunday, of course, in print on Monday. For Lauren Kirschman, I'm Eric Hall, and you've been listening to Hoopsburg College Basketball Podcast.